Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to be my thanking Cedar for the invitation. Sorry, I'm going to be juggling notes and also activating the slides, so we'll see how we go with that. I'm going to try and take a more controversial position on the issue of mature age employment in my presentation. And it's maybe it is speaking to current events a little bit in global labour markets in the economies of the world. Against a background of population ageing and with it dire warnings about the sustainability of social welfare systems and problems associated with declining labour supply, a number of influential bodies such as the OECD are calling for greater efforts amongst the industrialised nations to prolong working lives. We know all of this, it's in the media every day. However, recent commentaries have generally had a singular focus on the relationship between demographic change and the labour market, largely ignoring other critical factors shaping the contours of older workers' employment. Now, the focus of my presentation is on how demographic trends, in combination with social and technological changes and the wider forces of globalisation, are creating major challenges for employers and nations in managing labour supply, how each is responding, and the effects on older workers trying to secure or maintain footholds in labour markets, but confronting, as Richard Sennett in his 2006 book The Culture of the New Capitalism puts it, the spectre of uselessness as jobs they could do and now being done elsewhere in the world, often by younger people. And in my presentation, I will ask whether older workers really can look forward to longer working lives and the circumstances under which this may or may not occur. So in my presentation, I'll be speaking about the elements of change that now confront individuals, business, government and society. And these will identify as social change, the characteristics of the global economy and migration. And these elements will form the basis for discussion of the difficulties faced by older workers, gaps in current practice, and the need for innovative policy reform. Now, demographic change has resulted in an emerging consensus about prolonging working lives, but at the same time, globalisation is creating labour supply challenges for employers and nations, and we need to consider how older workers are being affected. Apologies for those of you at the back. I'm not going to dwell on this slide for very long, but it's about growth in labour supply, this slide. And Australia's sitting somewhere. I haven't got a pointer. Australia is here. And this is Australia's growth in labour supply between 2010 and 2050. You can see that for some countries, over towards your right, for instance, Germany, Japan, Italy and Russia in particular, growth in labour supply goes negative. It's a major problem for countries like Russia. And if Peter MacDonald had still been here, Peter would probably have said that Russia is set to disappear as an effective nation in the next 100 years. It will simply run out of people. But Peter has gone, so I said it instead. Some of you will remember this chap. Policymakers in all of the industrialised nations are keen to prolong working lives in order to counter the costs of population ageing. And these predicted shortfalls in labour we used to hear about. But as this cartoon implies, we need to consider the painful transitions older workers might make in a globalising economy. And for those of you at the back there, the caption is "Pensioner re-entering the workforce." And it's from the Times of the 12th of May 2006. And to summarise the demographic issues, labour shortages are forecast for industrialised nations, but at the same time, global labour supply is expanding. And I'll come back to that point in a moment. To summarise the economic issues, we are witnessing the integration of production and value delivery and the decomposition of production processes. And there is new global competition for talent, markets, technology and ideas, financial and human capital flows, and the redistribution of skilled work internationally. Now, the risks for employers are many, and understanding how they're choosing to manage these risks will benefit public policy. I'm not going to dwell on these risks. And if people would like these slides, they're more than welcome to them, by the way. I'll say a little bit more about older workers. When considering the risks for older workers, we should think about changes in manufacturing and service industries, older workers' vulnerability to job loss and long-term unemployment, and work intensification and or marginalised employment. And I might, in the question and answer session, I may say a little bit more about marginalised employment if I get the chance. From a public policy perspective, these trends raise questions about the role public policy can play in protecting older workers. Now, to elaborate on these points a little, rapid social, economic and cultural change is being brought about by a sharp reduction in the cost of transportation and information and communication technologies. New global economic structures are rewarding and demanding new configurations of economic relations, human and social capital, and the resources of flexible capacities, agility and creativity. And corporations are pursuing integrated production and value delivery worldwide, with economic activity increasingly turning outwards. So what does this mean for labour markets? Well, cross-border human and capital flows are enabling the relocation of industry to new centres of global production and opening up new talent markets. Nations are now waging a war for talent. Global migration flows, especially among skilled workers, will continue their strong upward trend. But at the same time as this is occurring, global demographic change is both complicating and precipitating an international search for talent. So, will older workers plug the labour supply gap? While working later is identified as the obvious solution, policymakers viewing this strategy as the basis of sustaining welfare systems and offsetting declines in numbers of young labour market entrants. But globalisation and its consequences provides a strong countervailing force. And in fact, in broad terms, in very broad terms, there isn't strictly speaking a labour supply problem at all. The global labour force is in fact growing, the majority in the developing nations. East Asia has contributed to about half of a quadrupling of the effective global labour supply, while South Asia and the former Eastern Bloc have accounted for smaller increases. And the global labour market presents as a new resource for organisations to utilise. So will older workers in fact be discarded? While the shift to a global economy where labour and capital flows, technology transfers and foreign direct investment dominate is forcing dynamic change for individuals, business and government. Resources on a global scale are being shuffled to meet new demands. Now, economic theory recognises this reshuffling in accordance with the principles of economic advantage can lead to improved resource utilisation. Globalisation, however, also leads to job insecurity, older workers potentially becoming off-suit discards as their skills and attributes are devalued. Now, research I undertook recently for the European Foundation, based in Dublin, in the project Employment Policies for an Ageing Workforce, considered the range of factors affecting policy making towards older workers among employers. Now, as you can see from this slide to my left, demographic change is one of many factors affecting employer responses to workforce ageing. And in our research, market forces came out very powerfully. Public policy came out very strongly. Now, I'll come to a couple of examples from this study in a moment, but first of all, and apologies for those of you who've seen this slide before. Here's an example of market forces at work, the case being Swedish telecommunications equipment maker Ericsson announcing redundancies on the basis that it needed to recruit younger staff in order to remain competitive. Now, certainly at the back you won't be able to read this, most of you at the front, so I'll just read a little excerpt from the Financial Times of April 27th, 2006. In a stark announcement this week, Ericsson said it was offering voluntary redundancy to up to 1,000 employees aged 35 to 50 in order to make way for younger workers. The telecommunications equipment maker said its workforce had become unbalanced after big job losses at the start of the decade, and it needed to recruit younger staff to ensure competitiveness. So this is Ericsson, I think, looking out into the world and saying, how on earth can we remain competitive? And I think they're saying we can't remain competitive if we employ anyone over the age of 35, at least in this particular part of the business. Anybody have any thoughts on why they didn't target the over 50s? I thought about this for a couple of days and I came to the conclusion they didn't have any. But that was a guess and I don't know the answer to that, but I did wonder. This is, if you think that's a one-off, here is an example of a German firm, KSB, from our research in employer policies for an ageing workforce. KSB, in the last few years, has done a great deal around maintenance of its ageing workforce. KSB has been very concerned about this issue. It's done a whole range of things around older workers. However, 12 months after many of these initiatives were implemented, the organisation underwent a rationalisation and reorganisation programme, which led to compulsory early retirements. And this use of older employees was viewed as the most socially acceptable measure by management. And understandably, the workforce, the older workforce, were irritated and highly critical of this company position. Here's an example from Belgian firm Barco, again, who has been very innovative in this area. This project, Employer Policies for an Aging Workforce, was meant to look at so-called examples of best practice. But after doing quite a lot in this area in 2004, Barco, as with KSB, restructured some of its divisions. And blue-collar workers aged 50 and over could choose what they call in Belgium a Canada Dry arrangement. And most took that option. And that basically consists of unemployment benefits and a lump sum paid by the employer. And here is another illustration. This time, I think there's a lot about public policy here. We've heard a lot about flexibility today, and maybe given the opportunity to talk some more about it, I could offer some more comments on flexibility. But I've always been quite attracted to British Telecom's approach to flexibility, introduced in 2001, offering options that listed as a wind down, step down, time out, helping hands, and ease down. But when we visited British Telecom and asked them about this, the success of this approach to managing their aging workforce, offering flexibility, phased retirement, volunteering, they told us that take-up had been very poor. And the view was that it had a lot to do with public pension policy, that employees were very concerned about whether they ought to go flexibly or not. They were very, very uncertain about their futures and would prefer to stay working full-time or retire full-time. These in-betweeny kind of things they were very nervous about. So a very well-meaning initiative from British Telecom, but take-up was actually quite poor. And Just very quickly, another example from the Netherlands. This is actually a survey of employers undertaken in 2000 and 2005, asking about their responses to labour shortages reported by Ken Henkens and York Shippers from the Netherlands. And this slide demonstrates that as the Dutch economy slowed between the years 2000 and 2005, interest in recruiting older workers actually fell, and it fell substantially. It fell markedly. So the point is that the employment of older workers is not a one-way street. And just because organisations overall have been employing more older workers does not mean that they will continue to do so. Actually, stay with that for a moment. At this point, I want to say a few words about the business case for employing older workers. And such a case was articulated by myself and Alan Walker from Sheffield University in 1995, and this had five elements. Return on investment, preventing skill shortages, maximising recruitment potential, responding to demographic change, and the promotion of diversity. However, since then, my thinking's developed on this issue, and it seems to me that, however, human resource management theory provides managers with a convenient and powerful alternative rhetoric for legitimising the exclusion of older workers. As a result, commonly used arguments for employing them may be largely ineffective. For example, what follows from HRM theory is that one of the so-called positive attributes of older workers, that is, corporate memory and experience, might be viewed as largely irrelevant or even disadvantageous by some employers. As noted by Sennett in his 2006 book, investing in older workers may not be preferred by employers deciding to source their skilled and cheaper labour elsewhere instead. And as pointed out by Dickens in 1999, the appeal of a quality action may vary over time, leading to fair weather policy making. In this regard, as we've seen from the limited longitudinal research I've just pointed to, this has challenged the notion that the emergence of workplace policy in older workers is a one-way street. And I think this should give policymakers and advocacy groups cause for concern. In addition, the so-called lump of labour fallacy, which is a challenge to the notion that any increase in older workers' employment would come at the expense of younger ones, hardly fits with the day-to-day reality of workplaces, where difficult decisions concerning who to keep on are made. Here, employment levels really are finite. And even the social commentator Sacred Cow of the inevitability of business responding to the imperatives flowing from demographic change has been challenged. Turning the argument on its head, in a recent article in The Economist, it was argued that population decline might spur Japanese business towards greater efficiency in its use of labour. And as shown already, the overall global picture is one of increasing labour supply. In sum, the foundations of the business case may in fact be rather weak. Now, it's my contention that older workers will face immense difficulties in maintaining a foothold in modern labour markets. They face job search frictions and intersectoral labour mobility barriers. And those facing these risks must either shoulder the cost of adjustment through retraining or unemployment, or remain trapped in shrinking sectors. They're slower to be re-employed and face larger wage losses once re-employed than others. And these and other complicating factors position at risk older workers at the margins and highlight the need to assist them to negotiate change in an increasingly complex and dynamic environment. And Chair, just a couple more slides. Turning to the public policy response, to summarise, a marked shift is underway from the passive receipt of social welfare to active labour market policies. But for at-risk older workers, policies couched in the language of individual responsibility do little to challenge social circumstances, culturally embedded roles, and limited fields of opportunity. and evidence suggests that after-the-fact interventions may do little to salvage trade-displaced older workers. And moreover, job destruction and creation no longer take place according to an orderly and foreseeable set of scheduled events and sectoral patterns. And some even argue that the employment challenges confronting modern society may evade the scope of traditional policy responses. So to summarise, integration of the world economy has facilitated the movement of industrial production to new centres, and with this new sources of international demand for skilled labour. Foreign direct investment in developing economies, along with industry restructuring and the emergence of global production networks, have also radically reshaped human capital and financial flows. These changes have the potential for adverse complications for at-risk older workers. Excuse me. A deep understanding of the current relationship between age and the labour market requires that demographic ageing is considered alongside other factors. The popular notion that ageing populations go hand in hand with ageing workforces appears to be contradicted by much evidence. Now, while there are new efforts to prolong working lives, to attract skilled migrants and investment, and to reverse the flow of skilled professionals into a globalising labour market, the aspirations of government remain little more than rhetoric. In the absence of reliable alternatives, businesses exploring the viability of alternative models involving transnational activities, leaving in its wake a new crop of older, dislocated workers. Thank you.